We do need to give praise to our God. Today, as we focused on our thoughts around Thanksgiving, it's just a few days ahead. We want to remember that, to be a part of the celebration of our lives, and we all do it differently, and different kinds of foods and things like that, but it all should center around the fact that we're talking to our God, that we're worshiping and praising our God. I remind you in Psalms 150, the psalmist said, "Hallelujah, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him at his mighty expanse, praise him for his powerful acts, praise him for his abundant greatness, praise him with the blast of the ram's horn, praise him with the harp and the lyre, praise him with the tambourine and dance, praise him with strings and the flute, praise him with resounding cymbal, praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Hallelujah. You know, when we think about Thanksgiving, I'm sure our hearts are supposed to turn to gratitude. It's a time when we share and we look at it. Think about Thanksgiving. What do you think about when you hear the term Thanksgiving? What's in your mind? I think of Thanksgivings that are in the past. As a child, I remember our family gathering around the dining room table, where the table was covered with a feast of different kinds of food. And Mama's cooking was good. It was all good food. And there, as we celebrated together, there were those special dishes that were in amongst our plates, and we could use that, and they were special to us. As our family, mine and Jean's family, will get together on Saturday to celebrate Thanksgiving together, each one is bringing their special dish, and there will be a great time of fun and activity as we share together. By the time I became a teenager, my older siblings had made their way away from the home. They had made their way into the great big world of those days. And so I remember as children, they were small. You know, there was that time when our crowd came down. I remember when our children were small and we would go to Jean's mom's house, and there was that same thing, all kinds of food. And there in South Carolina, St. George, South Carolina, there would be people from Georgia that would come up there, and we'd share together her father's family. You know, the women would stay in the house and cook. All the men would go for hunting, and we'd spend the morning on deer stands and the dogs running and hoping to kill a deer and things like that. And then we would come back and we'd eat this great big old meal of all kinds of food. And before you know it, we're all taking a nap. You know, turkey does that to you, I understand. But it was just a big celebration. But in both settings, my young child setting and in my early adult setting, there was much laughter, much fun, much enjoyment, much good food, those kind of things. You know, we can remember the pilgrims as well as we think about Thanksgiving. It does not seem so prevalent in our world today and in our culture today, but back in the old days, we had time of focus and the origins of our nation and the origin of the day Thanksgiving. We remember and we're reminded of the stories of the pilgrims that landed in the New World, and as a part of the harvest time and establishing a colony and beginning that process of living, they had that special day where they would have what we today call the Thanksgiving celebration, and they would thank God for his guidance and for his blessings. We kind of think of that big old black hat that the pilgrims would wear, you know, that would have a buckle on it, and as a part of that design, it was tall, but with the buckle, it was designed to mean humility. You know, they would put the belt and the buckle on the top of that hat and pull it tight so their brain wouldn't swell. They wouldn't get the big head, was what the description that I read about it was. You know, the women would wear bonnets and dresses, and there were the special clothing that they all wear. And we think of the Indians in that early Thanksgiving, the pilgrims and the Indians sharing together, learning from each other and being involved in the cooking of the turkey and the other foods on the open fire. And all along, they were serving food, and it was enjoyable, and they had time together. In that day, the peace, the celebration, and worship of God was included. But the Psalms ends with the praise the Lord. Psalms 150 is not only the end of the book of Psalms, but as I said, it was the end of the fifth challah, or the hallelujah. And that fifth section of the book of Psalms, it calls us to praise God. We're not sure who wrote that psalm, but the psalmist, with some strategic questions, he answered and reassured us about our praise. He talked about where we're to praise God, for what we're to praise God for, with what we're to praise God for, and who we are to praise. The hallelujah is that transliteration of the word that means praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Now, if you go back to the original language, the word Yahweh in the Hebrew would sound like you're breathing. Yahweh. In and out of the breath. And that's every breath should be an expression of praise to God. Psalm 150 closes the entire book of the Psalms, and it reminds us to praise the Lord, not quietly, not privately alone, but publicly, joyfully, universally. We are to come to that crescendo of gratitude every time we come into God's presence to praise Him. This psalm teaches us that the grateful heart is a praising heart. It's a heart that acknowledges God and worship and praise Him. When our hearts are full of thanks, they overflow into the worship of God. Now, we're to praise God for who He is. Think about that. Hallelujah. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. The psalm begins with that hallelujah, or praise the Lord. True gratitude starts, and it recognizes who God is, not just what He gives us. You know, we come to Him with our checklist regular, what we want from God. But we have to understand who God is and why we are to worship Him. We praise Him in His sanctuary. In the Old Testament, it was understood that God would be in the tabernacle and later in the temple. His Shekinah glory would settle on those places. That hazy smoke light would grow bright and dark and mark the spot of where God was. He would meet Moses in the afternoon in the tent of meeting every day. And the people would see the Shekinah glory come settle down. And Moses would go there and Moses would talk to God. The people would stand and worship God as He was in the tent of meeting in that place that later became known as the tabernacle and ultimately the temple. During Jesus' earthly ministry, He called the temple His Father's house. It was a place for meeting the Father. It was marked as a place where prayers and worship were to be offered by a repentant heart, by a heart that had come to see Him. Jesus also accused the religious leaders of making the temple, God's house, His Father's house, a den of thieves. Two times He went into the temple and with cords would beat the people and run them away, the money changers, the salesmen, the merchants that had their booths set up in the temple where the people were supposed to be worshiping, and they were selling animals for the sacrifice. They were exchanging money like you would coming from one country to another country. They were using that as a place to do business. And Jesus rebuked them because of that kind of lifestyle. There was that beating and their selling and all that was going on, the bartering and the selling that was going on. And He disrupted their commerce for two different occasions. Believers are to join in worship and praise to the Father through fellowship, through encouragement, through blessings and teachings, holding each other accountable, giving our community of people to minister to and evangelize and serve the Lord. We're going out from here and from our time with God to call people to come and worship Him. Praise Him in His mighty expanse, the psalmist said. As we come to know the Father through the ministry of the words of the Lord Jesus, we are to praise Him. All of creation, everyone, everywhere, everything has been created by God. He spoke and everything came into existence. And we express our gratitude as we come to realize who God is, not just for what He's done for us or is going to do for us and our family. We are to praise Him in His sanctuary, the place where His people gather. This is everywhere. The sanctuary, the abiding place, creation itself expresses God's glory. Think about it. When we see Him in the sunrises and sunsets, we know there is a God. If we go to the mountains and the lakes, the rivers, the oceans, we know there's a God because of what's going on. When we see the blue skies and the clouds, we see what's going on and we know there is a God. When we see Him on the hot days or the cold days, when we see Him in other people, when we find Him everywhere we go, He is always with us. I've told y'all before, many times on a disaster, as I would make my way from the office to wherever the disaster was in the world, I would begin formulating my plans and strategies on how I was going to fix, how I was going to deal with it. And most of the time, the second or third day that I'm in that environment, I realize God's got a different plan. He had already worked it out, and I needed to adjust myself to do what He had planned and how He planned it. And over again, I found when I got to the disaster, God was already there. He was already at work. He was already involved with the people, even before the disaster happened. He said we need to praise Him for His character. The Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He will never change. Yeah, we change. His law is constant, though. His love is abiding. He still convicts of sin. He still accepts repentance. He still forgives sins. He still heals and restores people that come to Him in repentance. That means we are to give up control and follow His commands, His teachings. All then will praise God. All that we have will praise God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are to praise God for what He has done also. Verse 2, praise Him for His powerful acts. Praise Him for His abundant grace. Praise Him for His powerful acts. It does not take much to understand, to know that we are not a result of some big cosmic explosion. It doesn't take much to understand that not something that happened hundreds of thousands of years ago, way out in space somewhere, is why we exist. You see, it takes more faith to believe that a man evolved from a frog to understand that God created man. And He created us as we are and what we are to be. He has a will and a purpose for us. We understand that we came into existence because God spoke. God acted. God worked. We see the powerful acts of His kindness every day. We understand very clearly that if the earth did not stay where it is, our world would end. Think about it. If the earth just moved a little bit closer to the sun, we'd burn up. And they tell us if it would move just a little bit further away from the sun, we would freeze. Now, that's the creation of God. That for all these years that we've known of the existence of the world, that the earth has stayed in its same orbit, doing the same thing over and over again. The big new moon, the full moon, the partial moon, the crescent moon. On and on, you think about the things of nature that exist that prove that while we live, God still works. And He's still involved in our lives. Praise Him for His abundant greatness. The Bible that we read, God created the world. He redeemed Israel and raised Jesus from the dead. There's no one like God. God spoke and everything came into existence. God's words, everything we know, started and it continues. He chose a people to find a food because of his greatness. His chosen people in a time of famine was able to go to Egypt, to a place that he had sent one of them to prepare for, and they escaped the famine and went to Egypt. And these little old nothings that were sheep herders all of a sudden began to be blessed in a special way, and they blessed the world around them. But they grew in number, and it got to the point that that crowd was so big that the people in that nation, well, we can't trust them. We can't depend on them. They're going to do something bad. We got to make slaves out of them. And so they made slaves. And after 400 years, God says, time out. There's a change coming. And he raised up one man, and through that man, he brought about an exit from Egypt and into the promised land, and he established his nation that had been promised way before. You see, God allowed his chosen people to multiply, and the number grew so large that there was fear and confusion that the nation would enslave their host. And that didn't happen. But it was through those people God sent the Savior, the mankind, the Jesus, the Messiah. But they didn't like him either, so they killed him. But 3 days later, in a borrowed grave, he came alive again and came out of the tomb. And through that resurrection, he offers salvation to all that would believe him. He now lives in our lives. He's a part of us today through the person of the Holy Spirit. He has saved us. He provides for us. He sustains us, even in our trials and desperate days, to one day he's going to bring us home to share all of eternity with him. That great resurrection that's going to happen in the future. The psalmist said, praise him for his acts of grace. Thanksgiving is just not about what's on the table, folks. It's about what God has done on the cross of Calvary. When we stop to count our blessings, we're reminded of the powerful sets, the acts, and the activities of grace. He fills our lives today, blessing us. We will remember our salvation, our forgiveness, our hope, our eternal life. We cannot have a grateful heart without remembering the cross of Christ and what he did for us. All of Jesus suffered and endured on those days. I could bow and seek forgiveness from him through repentance and belief and confession because of what he did. So I would have the privilege to live for him, to serve him, and to spend eternity with him at my Father's throne of grace. Then I am, and I should, praise him every day for that privilege. But we praise God for all that we have, or with all that we have. Verse 3, praise him with the blast of the ram's horn, praise him with the harp and the lyre, praise him with the tambourine and dance, praise him with strings and flute, praise him with resounding cymbals, praise him with clashing cymbals. Every instrument, every sound, every gift, every ability that we have must be used in praising of God. That's total worship. Every instrument, every sound is to be used. All we have, all that we are, all that we will be needs to be employed in worshiping and praising the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Every gift, talent, possession must be engaged in that worship. Every moment of our life is to be invested in praising him. The psalmist said, praise him with the ram's horn, the harp, the lyre, the tambourine, the dance string, and fluted clashing cymbals. Can you see that going on in our building? Can you see all those things involved in our worship? You know, we're pretty selective in what we want. I know churches that you have no musical instrument at all. I know churches where there's only the piano. I know churches with every instrument that you can think of as a part of the worship. But that's the idea. Worship is joyful experience. It is joyful and expressive. Worship is vibrant. Worship is diverse. And it all comes together. It does not matter the style, the singer, the musicians, or the instruments. We all engage in worship. And it moves us to worship. There are places, man, we don't want no drums around here. We don't want a guitar, you know. We don't want a tambourine. And there's that idea. But the psalmist said everything that is available to us needs to be used in our worship of God. Why? Gratitude moves us to act. When we're thankful, we're going to react to that. We're going to do something. God desires our praise to engage our whole being, our voice, our action, our resources, our energy. A grateful heart expresses praise. Think about that. You thank people when you're grateful. Thank you for doing that. Thank you. I mean, and when I do it for a server and I call the manager of the restaurant and I say, your server has done a good job and your food has been good, very seldom do they not touch me on the shoulder or shake my hand and say, thank you for that expression. They give gratitude that I acknowledge what they were doing, what they'd done, what they accomplished. You see, worship is not to be limited to Sundays. Service is lived every day. In the way that we work, in the way that we serve, in the way that we love others, it's a worship of God. This Thanksgiving, may our gratitude overflow not only in words, but how we live. May we express with all we are and all that we have, with all that we can do in obedience and our love for the Lord Jesus, be expressed to the world around us. Everything that is a part of our life is to be used in expressing thanksgiving and gratitude. Now we join all of creation in praising God too. Verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everything that has breath praise the Lord. Breath is a gift and should be praised for by the believer. There is that idea. Every breath we take, every breath that we breathe should be given back in praise. Thence, the Hebrew word Yahweh. When they said it, they were expressing who God was and thanking Him for that breath. Yahweh in history, in the Hebrew language, means the sound that we give when we breathe. That cannot occur if we're cursing, if we're being angry, if we're telling lies, if we're gossiping, if we're false witnessing. All of those things cannot be a part of Thanksgiving. And we can't do them if we're trying to thanksgive to God. But when we thanksgive to God, those things can't be in our life. We must stop. Oh, yes. It's going to happen, but it should be dealt with very quickly. And our no should be no, and our yes should be yes. And that's the way we live our lives, Jesus said, in obedience and service to the Lord. Gratitude is not optional for the believer either. Gratitude is not an option for us. It is a natural response to what God has done. We are thankful. Folks, if you just picture hell and heaven, and think about that Jesus has saved us and has already promised me a place in heaven, I need to thank Him every day. I need to express adoration and praise. Gratitude is not optional. We're grateful for our salvation and nothing else matters. Nothing else matters in the circumstances of our life that we have. Because we have today, we worship a living God. With all that we have and all that we are, we worship God. Last night, I spent some time on the phone with my sister. My sister is being moved into long-term care facility, nursing home, what we used to call them. Betty used to manage those things when she was a worker. But for the last 20 years, she hasn't done anything like that. And she has been so rebellious toward going there. I don't want to be there. I can't develop 87 years of my life and put it in one room. I want to do things. I want to go. I want to. And I said, Betty, the circumstances of your life has changed. Rather than being angry and combative about the decision that is having to be made, that you can't do this by yourself and your children are not going to do it, you have to be thankful that God has provided a place. And I went through and I talked to her about the Apostle Paul. Paul wanted to go to Rome. He didn't look to be in prison in Rome, but that's where he ended up, in prison in Rome. He went to Rome. But if you study Paul's letters, more than any other subject, he talks about joy while he's in prison, chained to two guards, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He had joy. The circumstances of our life cannot interrupt our gratitude. It has to come. It has to be an expression of who we are. When we are grateful, life is a song of praise. Our hearts are grateful. Our lives become songs of praise that join all of creation in bringing glory to the Creator of the universe. Every time we breathe needs to be a reminder of the giver of life. God gave me one more breath. God gave me one more day. Heard a question this morning talking about a young married couple. They'd just been married a short time, weeks, when the wife was killed. A husband, that newlywed, stands in the pulpit, casket in front of him, and he's supposed to speak. And all he can say is, "Yesterday was the best day of my life. It was the night that he spent with his wife." As we come to the end of every day, it should be the best day of our life. Not only with our family and our loved ones, but with our God in worship and praise to him. And the psalmist closed it by saying, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." With every breath that we take, we will praise the Lord. There will be a continuous hallelujah. You see, a grateful heart cannot be silent. It is not going to be silent. We will praise God. Psalms 150 calls us to praise God. Praise Him for who He is. Jehovah, Yahweh, is our holy and sovereign Lord. Praise Him for what He does. Jehovah, Yahweh, is our Savior and Redeemer through Jesus Christ. We are praising with all that we have. Every aspect, every part of our whole life is to be lived as instrument of praise of the one true God. It has to be worship and gratitude. What I challenge us to do is lift our hearts in worship. Not just in this building, but this Thanksgiving, let it not just be us counting our blessings, but let us lift our hearts in worship of God, our wonderful, powerful, redeeming Savior, Lord and King, Jesus the Christ. We need to be worshiping Him. Now, a non-believer cannot worship God. If you've never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, you cannot truly have a grateful heart until you have been forgiven and you understand what that's like and how it is. You see, we come to Him today. You can receive His grace. You can begin a life of prayer and thanksgiving and adoration of God. How? You admit that you have sinned, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You understand that God demonstrated His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. You understand that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have to admit that you've sinned. You have to believe Jesus is the Christ. That if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that is to believe. And you confess Jesus as Lord, you confess Him as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. We've known it for years as the Roman road, those four verses of Scripture out of the book of Romans. But I use a D in that as well, of the ABC. And that is, you dedicate your life to a life of discipleship. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, we've studied the cross of the believer. As we've gone over the last 6 weeks in the Master Life study, Christ is our center. We delve into the Word of God, studying the Word. We spend time in prayer. We're going to fellowship with fellow believers, and we're going to evangelize a lost world. Share the gospel with them. And all of that together means that we're serving God and serving others. We're ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If your thanksgiving is going to be real and acknowledge Christ, that must be your life. That must be your focus, centered around Christ and serving Him. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful today that we can look into your word and we can understand your message of hope that is in Jesus Christ. We ask you today to convict us of ways that we don't worship and praise you, how we need to worship and praise you, how we need to engage everything around us as an instrument of your worship and praise. Help us praise you to other people in the community. Share the gospel. Proclaim salvation through Jesus Christ, and worship and serve you before everyone with the love and grace you extended to us. Speak to our hearts now and call from us thanksgiving and praise that would be worthy of you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.